Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training.
I never wanted to be known for nothing. So I took my childhood, which I used to fly to Jamaica with my grandmother, who taught me about the culture and my heritage. So I used a saying that I used a lot, Grandma, what's that? And my first book is actually on Jamaica. So that's what inspired it. We're all uniquely different, especially with our like complexions and stuff. And I really wanted to showcase different tones of melanin skin and the different hairstyles that we wore with our Afro hair. I really wanted children to identify with them. So I was like, who better? And we're all from 9 Mile. So it all still ties in.
Hey, Chandler Volt here, and joining me today is Princess Booker. Princess is the author of the book called Grandma, What's That? And let's see that copy. She was just holding it up right before this. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see the physical copy right there. Look at that. Multiple different versions. So she's the author of those books. She's also an entrepreneur and the founder of 9 Mile Babies. And I saw this as a fun fact, a Grammy nominee as well. Hold up, what? So I'm really excited to unpack a bunch of this stuff. Princess, great to have you.
Thank you so much, Shannon, to have me. I listen to your podcast all the time while I'm driving. There's a lot of good information out there. So I'm just happy to even be on your podcast, on your show. So thank you.
We're happy to have you. I'm going to start with a Grammy nominee. That's kind of fun. My brother's been nominated for a Grammy as well. He plays in a rock and roll band called Nick Blue. So I know that, like, because I've been like, oh yeah, like the whole Grammy thing. But yeah, what's the story there? That's fun.
So the story is, my background is events and music and media management. That's what I went to university for. So I actually work with my brother, who is a reggae artist. Mm-hmm. So we worked hard on an album called As I Am in the reggae category. And yeah, and then we were nominated. So it was a lot of hard work that went into it, but it was an amazing album. Funny enough, like, we literally just won. He won this year. So he won a Grammy for this year. Colors of Royal.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. So, it takes a lot to get nominated and even more to get to win one. So that's impressive. What inspired you to start writing children's books?
So I've actually got a clothing brand called 9 Mile Clothing, which I started because my family own a tourist attraction in Jamaica, in St. Anne's, which is actually the birth and rest place of Bob Marley. And when I was out there working, we just had no 9 Mile stuff. So I decided to create 9 Mile stuff. And obviously I was selling that. And I had a lot of parents who wanted children's stuff. So I didn't want to put a boring logo on a t-shirt. I wanted to create something really special with meaning. And I thought, but before that, let's educate the children on what 9 Mile is, what Jamaica is. So I took my childhood, which I used to fly to Jamaica with my grandmother, who taught me about the culture and my heritage. And I was like, who better to teach the kids but grandma? So I used a saying that I used a lot, Grandma, what's that? And my first book is actually on Jamaica. So yeah, that's what inspired it.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. And I think a lot of people listening to this or watching this can resonate with that story of, a lot of times, especially with children's books, it comes from either this thing that you say with your kids, or for a lot of people, it's they're reading a book to their kids and they think one of two things. Either A, I could write a better book than this. and there's got to be better kids' books and children's books, so why don't I just write one? But then sometimes I feel like a lot of people think, hey, there's this specific message that I kind of want to get across to my kid, and I can't really find a children's book on that. Therefore, I'm going to create it. But what I think is fun about you is you kind of went the opposite way. It's like, oh, with my grandma, like these were experiences that I had. And so I'm going to use my kind of frame to teach other kids. How do you kind of come up with that?
I don't know. But I was just like, when you're little, you get put in clothing and you're wearing Nike or whatever, I don't know, and you don't really understand. And I really didn't just want to create clothing for kids. I wanted it to be special. I wanted it to have a meaning. Obviously, I stand firmly behind inclusion and diversity. And I wanted them to really understand and tie into like the characters, but they learn. So now when they do put on that Nymar Babies t-shirt or hoodie, they really feel a connection with it. But I feel you can teach before they can really have that. So I wanted to teach them first, share my grandmother with them, and then I could say, okay, we can launch the clothing. Yeah.
Cool. Well, and I like the overlap of it makes good sense for the kids, but it also makes good business sense. Because I mean, now you're teaching them about the clothes. And it's just like, now I've got way more of an affinity with this clothing brand that I've also read the book about than just any other clothing brand. That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't actually even think of all that. I was just, you know, when you're a creative, your head's just always doing this. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a really good idea.
Yeah, super smart. Yeah. When I feel like just seeing, in the titles and in the cover and all that stuff, it ties back to the main brand, which is smart. So I was asking this right before the interview of which came first, the books or the clothing brand. It sounds like maybe there was 9 Mile Clothing and that brand. And was it then 9 Mile Babies, then the books, or it was the book as kind of a segue into the 9 Mile Babies brand?
So to be honest, so it started with 9 Mile Clothing. So I launched 9 Mile Clothing in 2018. I did a festival. I did a pre-launch in LA and a festival called Kaya Fest that my cousin does. And then I did a launch event in Miami. And then I went to Jamaica and did a whole sort of behind the scenes tour around. So I did all that. And then I then was like, okay, I'm going to write this book. And I was a bit slow on writing it. I'm self-taught. So I was like, okay, let me write the book. And then once I wrote the book and it came out, I was like, I actually want to make a toy. And I used to, when I was younger, I used to love teddy bears and dolls. And I used to have this teddy rat spin that would tell me stories at night. I loved all of that. So then I made a toy. So the journey kind of happened organically. It wasn't, I'm going to write a book and then make toys. I'm going to do this. Even like the characters, which is interesting. The characters are actually my siblings. So they inspired the development of the characters. And I was just like, obviously I love my siblings, but we're all uniquely different, especially with our like complexions and stuff. And I really wanted to showcase the different tones of melanin skin and the different hairstyles that we wore with our Afro hair. I really wanted children to identify with them. So I was like, who better? And we're all from 9 Mile. So it all still ties in.
That's really cool. Well, so follow-up question for you on that. How does the creative process look different creating clothing versus creating the book? Like, what were some of the things that you're like, oh, that was kind of similar? And what were some of the things that you're like, hey, that was totally different?
So creating clothing, especially if it's for adults, you're kind of free and you can do different designs and I don't know, just be really free, sort of. When you're writing a book, like when it was just, I had to really go into my childhood and that childlike side, because I'm a bit of a kid, but you have to really sort of start speaking in a different language. So I've had people say to me, oh, you write in such a cute little way. But it was because the way that my grandmother would speak to me, or how I would speak, or when I listen to kids speak, or I'm like, oh, okay. So your tone really changes. Even when I do a post on 9 Mile Clothing and I do a post on 9 Mile Babies, it sounds very different. But I think you have to go to that light-hearted, I don't want to say fluffy, but we're not worried about anything and we're just enjoying life and we just want to play and eat candy and, do you know what I mean, hop around and yeah. you've got to really tap into that. Yeah. Because obviously coming from music, and well, I still am in music, to this, it's completely different. Like two different worlds.
Interesting.
So I'm just finding my way.
And so is that the voice that's different? Or is it sounds like, or is it the voice and the creative process is totally different?
Yeah, the voice and a bit of the creative process. The culture is still there. Obviously, all my books are about different countries and learning about different cultures. But it's the voice. I use a different tone. And I was like, if a parent reads it or they read it to a child, it resonates with them. So my grand would always say, oh, come here, dear. Or she'll call me like princess or little girl. Like, I don't want to give the accent, but because she had it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because sometimes my grand wouldn't even remember my name. She'd go, pretty girl, come. And I'd be like, I know she's talking, but it's kind of, you know. But it's that kind of way. So whatever it is love. And I wanted kids to feel that love and that sort of that comfort. Because if you were blessed to have grandparents and really good grandparents, their love is very different to parents. And everyone says that. Yeah, my mom treats my kids different to how she treated me. I think because they're relaxed, then they can enjoy them. So exactly.
That's cool. I like that. Man, Jamaican culture is so cool. And the accents are just incredible. I mean, you probably get that all the time, but it's just so great. I love it.
Yeah. It's so funny because my other grandparents were amazing. They were Bajans, so from Barbados. So I had Jamaica and Barbados. So my second book is actually on Barbados. So I had two different cultures growing up.
And you, what did you call it? You said Bajan?
Bajan. So B-A-J-A-N. So it's short. Bajan. So you have, yeah, Bajan. So you have, no, that's, see, we got the different accents going.
I got the Southern accent. You got the Jamaican accent.
Like someone from Barbados, like Rihanna, you would call them Barbadians. So, or for short, slang, Asians. Sometimes when I say, they say, what? Oh, you're half Asian? No.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I'm like, huh, Barbados and Asian? Yeah. Like, I didn't know that.
No. And then I just say Barbados. And they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah.
That's funny. That just reminds me of Cajun, which would be like, you know, like New Orleans Creole style. Follow-up question, it's a creative process. So are you a songwriter at all?
No.
Okay. But you're in music, but not writing. Because I was thinking of the parallel between writing a song and writing a children's book. They're a similar word count. It's kind of interesting.
No, yeah. So I'm on the management side and like the creative, so art, merchandise and stuff. There was a period where I wanted to be a singer, but the passion wasn't strong enough.
Yeah. Well, so what was the hardest part of creating the book for you?
Oh, good question. Funny enough, the first book came easy. I'm going to say that because it was my life. So it was kind of just put it in. But I think it was trying to make sure that children weren't bored and they were always excited. And I was always interested in feedback. So I used to get a few of my friends' little ones. I'd be like, just read it to her and see what she thinks and tell me what she really liked. And kids all had different parts. Like one child liked when they left the house. Another one liked when there was a hummingbird, or they liked the mango tree because they liked the mango tree. And there's a lot of speaking. So I was worried about the speech marks and different conversations and making sure that was correct. Like I was like, I get that proof. But I think it was making the story and keeping their attention. And I always looked at it like if I didn't fully like it, or if I just thought, oh, yeah, it's all right, I was like, no, it's not good enough. So, yeah.
That's cool. I want to talk on some of the marketing stuff and a bunch of that here in just a second. But you talked about the creative process for books versus creative process for clothing, that sort of thing. This is just a totally selfish question. Earlier I was on the website. I'm looking at some of the clothes. I'm like, all right, okay, I got to ask her this. So we're trying to level up our swag at selfpublishing.com. And this is not my skill set at all. But I'm trying to, it has sparked some thoughts of, okay, how do you create stuff to where our employees, our customers, like they would actually want to wear it and it's cool, not just kind of slapped together, that sort of thing. So knowing what you know with all your experience, how would you look at that if you were us?
Okay, for your brand?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So interesting question. So I would first look, do you know what's really good? What you could always do is your videos, look at a comment and look mm-hmm. if there's any say a lot of.
Oh, interesting. Right?
Mm-hmm. Really cute slogan. Because mm-hmm. what you want is clothing, especially your brand and what it is. You've got passionate writers and authors who, but they all have the same sort of feeling. We're all here. And I think if you can find a few slogans that resonates with us writers, mm-hmm. that could be a great. Like you can do the logo t-shirts and whatever, but, and do you know what? I'm looking at that book. Like you could do something, you know, like that book, it says published. Mm-hmm. You could actually just say like Got Milk, because it means like, it means cool. something. You don't really know what it means, but it's mm-hmm. not, you're not walking around saying, oh, it's kind of just cute. And I wouldn't even make it so big. I would just do it real small, real cute. I would wear that. But if it was like a nice little cute tee that I can wear with some ripped up jeans. Published mm-hmm. because kind of talking to this industry and it's like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. So I would do more with a play with words and mm-hmm. what your community already speaking on.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
cool.
I hope that was helpful.
Because then it's That's things cool. like published. It's things like we've thought about like an author hat, or we've thought about books change lives, or, you know, just like, I don't know, a bunch of stuff like that.
I hope you're loving this episode so far. So if you're serious about writing and publishing your book, we would love to chat with you and help create a custom plan. All right. So all you need to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, schedule a 45-minute consultation with one of the experts on my team. All right. Let's implement what you're learning in this episode and let's see how we can help with your book. Go to selfpublishing.com/schedule.
So is the stuff that you do, obviously you've got the clothing brand, you've got the big clothing brand, you've got the baby line. And then when you're doing stuff on the music side of things, is that creating merch for artists, or what is that in kind yeah. of a similar vein, or what does that look like?
So I create merch for my brother. So I do.
Got it.
Yeah. So I cool. him like, yeah. Like, so I
that's
like
a similar
that.
Thing. How do you figure out, is it, you know, his name, because I mean, obviously a lot of band merch, it's the band name and some sort of thing. But then a lot of the best merch, it's got some sort of feel or something. Like, how do you do that? And any thoughts? Some of this is just personal curiosity, and hopefully people watching this or listening is find this interesting. Maybe there's some people who want to create merch around their books, but how do you kind of think through that when you're doing it for him specifically?
So I look at him and who he is. And obviously, I look at his fan base because he's got a pretty big fan base. And obviously, what the reggae community like to wear. Mm-hmm. And you can have his name. They love, like, his image. They love it. But I like to do, like, kind of cool stuff with the black and white. Maybe there's, like, a little bit of smoke. Oh, I'm also someone who likes to do beading and stuff like that. I like a lot of that hand stuff. Cool. I would do lyrics. He has this song called, like, Boom Draw. People love it. Well, let me go. And as I am, it's so funny. I did this quick thing. He was like, I need a backdrop. And I was like, okay, as I am. Then he was like, let's just put that in there. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, but that's the best work. I did that thought. But it does amazing because As I Am speaks to people in so many different ways. Mm. It's no longer about album or his song. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. If you can get catchphrases that cross over, then you're good. But and then obviously with us, it's tours. So people like the collection stuff, the tour dates. Yep. So if it's like his name or an image, tour dates on the back. So you kind of... It just depends on what you're trying to
That's
push
cool.
or how you're doing it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Please finish.
Oh, no. I was just saying, now I got to know who's your brother.
Ah, Julian Marley.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Because did I read this somewhere that Bob Marley is your uncle?
Yeah, he is.
And so you probably don't try to intro with that, huh?
No, I'll
actually follow up on that because we have interesting stories in that sense of like My brother plays in a rock and roll band called Need to Breathe. He's a decade older than me. Grammy nominated band, played a ton of shows, have a huge audience, all that stuff. And so it's interesting, growing up, I feel like there were often times where the band was doing very well and I would get introduced as like, oh, I'm Seth's little brother or whatever. Right. And there would be this weird thing of, hey, is this person friends with me because they want to be friends with me, or is this person friends with me because they're trying to get to my brother? Like all this stuff. Have you ever dealt with that? And if so, how did you kind of balance that? Because on one hand, it's like, hey, this is a fun fact about me, but also this is not probably how you want to be introduced or whatever.
Yeah. I've gone for it, of course, all my life. What was good though is because I live in London, my brother lives in the States, so I had like two personas. So in London I kind of kept it very quiet. Also, I never wanted to be known for nothing. I don't want to be known as someone cis. Right. I love it. My brother's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I just, if you're going to be known, I'm not going to go, oh my gosh, yeah, he's my brother and this and that, like
that's me.
Like, I'll be out. It's so funny. Like, when we go on tour, I'll be out there and obviously they'll see a girl. And most of the time people think that girls around their groupies or it's someone's girl, and they would just look at me and they'll see me and they'll be like, okay. And then they'll be like, oh yeah. And he's like, yo, you know, that's like my sister, that's Princess. And they'll be like, oh, Empress. I'm sorry. And it's just like, well, you just got to respect a person because we're people and we're human. But that's it's so fun. I love that because I get to see someone's true character. Mm-hmm. Than you want to talk to me or show me some sort of respect because of who you now realize I am. It's just like, what? So I do go for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I understand your world. I do understand it. But I was lucky. So in London, no one really knew. It was just, and then when I flew to Miami and Jamaica, obviously you're in different circles, so everyone kind of knows, but I'm not someone who like will post and do all of that. I was just like, no. So I kept it very sleep, like very kind of quiet. So I was still able to go out and enjoy and do stuff. It's okay. Only now when I work with my brother and started doing the clothing and everyone's like, huh? Okay, well, maybe she just knows them. She knows the Marleys or whatever. Okay. Mm. And then when I started doing my Marl babies and I had to fully tell the story so people understood and understood everything, they were like, okay. And then the other day I went to the One Love premiere for the new Bob Marley movie. So obviously I'm there, my cousins and Ziggy and Roman and all. So they're like, oh, so then you start getting messages. And
yeah.
Buy a book.
That's just life. Oh, that's what. So
I understand your life. I understand it.
That's funny. Yeah, the messages. Hey, I've got somebody, huge fan. Is there any way
that. Oh, God. At it all, and I know, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, this person loves like Damien, please can you, no, I'm not gonna do that. No, yeah, but you know, yeah. Oh, can I come with, no, or I just be like, I don't work in industry anymore, I don't do that, no. Mm-hmm. Or I just, mm-hmm. It's a bit funny. Over, yeah, it's a lot, it can be a lot.
Kind for of sure. Well, hey, let's talk a little marketing stuff, and I've got a couple final questions on that, is, so with the books, what has worked best for you to sell books or to bring awareness to your books?
Yeah. So first when I started, I put them on Amazon and I just left them and they were left. And I was like, oops, okay. Yeah, I don't understand the Amazon. I don't know how to do it. And then one day I was just like, you know what? I'm going out and I'm going into bookstores. And I went, I did like 25,000 steps or more, just going into bookshops. Hi, I'm Princess. I wrote this children's book. The first shop I went into, she was like, oh, this is really cute. And then she was like, okay, are you with a distributor? And I was like, yeah, I distribute them myself. And she goes, oh, no, we only work with distributors. So if you're able to get with a distributor, then I'll be happy to stock them. So I was like, okay. I carried on trying stores, but I realized the conversations were the same. So I went back home. I said, okay, besides losing a little weight and gaining some steps in, I said, this isn't going to work. So I said, I started researching distributors. So then that's when I was like, okay, I need to be part of, I don't know if you know Gardeners. So I emailed Gardeners. It was really hard. I tried to figure this all out. But anyways, I made Nymar Babies a publisher. So I actually published Nymar Babies books, and I bought my own barcodes and everything. So I did all that, and they're still on Amazon. But you know when the change actually happened? And I think anyone that's selling books and struggling, pop-ups. I've popped up, like I launched, the brand launched on the 1st of April last year. So I'm coming up to 1 year, and I did pop-ups, and I sold nearly 600 books from April to December. And that was just high. And I had one book, because the new book only came out on the 1st of March, had one book. And I just kept telling people about the book and making the sales, mm-hmm. making the sales. Website was a little bit slower. You'll get sales, and Amazon was a little bit slower. I still need to figure out how to do all that. But pop-ups for me saved me, because I think if I didn't do that, I think, oh my gosh, no one likes my books. No one likes the brand. Mm-hmm. But I think getting it outside and getting it in front of people is the way forward. That's also cool. You get amazing feedback.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. And I think that's one of the toughest parts as an author, right? Because you write this book, someone gets the book, they read it, they have an experience with it, but you don't really get that feedback loop often as an author. You don't get to physically see them, right? If you're playing music, you see them experiencing the song or reacting to the song, or if you're just going out and speaking, or if you're whatever. But with a book, you don't always get that. And so I think that's what's fun about the pop-up, is getting to interact directly with your readers. Can you... For people who don't know, what is a pop-up? How does it work? And then how do you line those up?
Okay, so a pop-up is arranged by an event organizer. So for example, anyone who knows London or different in America or different cities, it could be in a shopping mall, it could be at a school, it could be in a local market. But depending on where you feel like your audience is passing through, that's probably where you want to go. So you literally pay a fee, and it would be like a day rate. And they'll obviously check, depending on who the event organizes, they'll probably check. And then you set up, you got your price. Obviously, you have your payment, your card readers, or if you're taking cash, have float. And you literally just put yourself out there like, hi, hey, hello, I see you looking. Yeah, come over. I'll be like, come. And then the funniest thing is, the more and more I did it, the more and more, like, I knew my book, but I really knew it. So I'll say, no, babies go on the magical journey with grandma as they sing the alphabet. Yeah. So your child's going to learn the alphabet as they go through. And as they go through, they learn about the acacia tree, the hummingbird, the sugar cane, the red dirt. And they'll be like, wow, all of that. Yeah. And then I'll flick it through, and they'll be like, you know what? Let me get one of those. I've had people come back, let me just get one more big book. I've got another child, so this would be great. And that's it. And I think it builds so much confidence. So I'm glad. Cool. I did it, because it really committed what I was doing and what I was trying to do.
Yep. I like that a lot. And it's cool you shared that, because I'm trying to remember who it was on the podcast. I'm drawing a blank right now. Another children's book author, she said the same thing. She said, hey, it was pop-ups or local kind of, not a block party, but kind of like coming together, and you got a bunch of vendors, and it's maybe a slightly different name for pop-up, but that kind of thing. She said, hey, it works really well. And her tip was, hey, you kind of need to be one of the only people of that thing. You don't want to go do a bunch of other book, like a pop-up with a bunch of other people selling books. But if you're the one person selling a book and you've got a unique angle, it will work really well for her too.
Definitely. I think most organizers as well, they try not to have too many of the same brands. So if there's already a toy brand or an author who's just got books, they'll have like a jewelry brand and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's a good question to ask them. Like, how many vendors are there? And whatever you're doing, how many of those will you have there? So you know what the competition is. But if they're good at what they do, they won't have more than two there, or maximum three, depending on how big the venue is. And also, it really helped my followers, because as they did that, I was like, okay, yep, you got to stay in contact. When I get a new book, make sure. They'd be like, yeah. And then I had the QR code, and they would scan it. And then they're looking and they're fully engaged and they're just waiting. So that was a great way of getting people to connect with me on social media. And also I used to try to get them to sign up to the mailing list. Obviously, when you're taking the payments, join. Sometimes you don't want to say the mailing list. I said, you want to keep in contact with us, don't you? Yeah, sure. Okay, cool. I'll make sure you get our emails. Yeah, the moment you say mailing list, everyone goes, red flag.
Can you actually preemptively take me off that list?
Yeah. So you kind of want to pre-gig. Yeah, I learned that doing it. So
that's good. And that's what you learn from doing a bunch of these is the small turns of phrase that make a big difference. Have you seen people getting the book and leading to them purchasing from the clothing line, or like has the book tied in with the clothing line sales at all, or not so much?
You know what's funny? I have one customer. She's like diehard. She's amazing. She's actually a brand affiliate as well. She actually purchased from my clothing brand, and then obviously was following the clothing brand and stuff. And then I must have mentioned that, oh, I'm starting 9 Mile Babies, and she had a little one, and she was like, the moment I saw that you was doing 9 Mile Babies, I was like, and she was already bought into it. So that was kind of good. Like I converted a few. I don't really promote it on my 9 Mile Clothing page, but what I do is in 9 Mile Clothing, I think I have a tab that says kids, and when you click kids, it goes to 9 Mile Babies. So you kind of go into a whole different world. Yeah. Cool. So I do think the tip, but not, they don't sit on each other, because I was like, they both need their own place. And then I've got the toys. So it's just like, yeah. You want to see the toys?
Yeah. Do you have one?
Oh, of course I got. Here's one.
Cool.
There you go. This is Julian.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there's like, yeah. And then there's five of them. They're huge. They're like, yeah. There you go. So they're all part of the book. Yeah.
Cool. And for, I mean, I'm going to, because you've got your clothing background, for people that are less familiar with that sort of thing and say, oh, that's cool, I want to do that for my book. What's the process look like to get something like that created? Is there a minimum order size? Is there like, what's the cost look like? How do you even do that?
So for the clothing? Yeah. So what if you wanted to do like t-shirts?
For the toys, actually. I was curious on the toys.
For the toys. Okay. So the toys, it was a whole process. And they were made in China. Obviously, I had to make a sample. Sample was extreme. This is the first one I made. I was lucky because she came out perfect. This is actually me. So I am one of the 9 Mile Babies. And my auntie made her this dress. But I had to, let me try see how I could put this. If you've got a character, I used the drawing that I had. And then I went on Alibaba. And I looked for toy manufacturers, and I kind of looked at what they did and sort of what they create. Thing is, what you got to really know is that you can't touch and hold it. And what you don't want to do is pay like £200 for a sample and it's not correct. I spent a lot of time in the Disney store and different toy stores, like just looking at different materials, looking at how they sew, how they make, because the more information that you can give them, the better. Because you got to remember as well, and it depends on where you're making it. If you're going to Asia, you got the language barrier, plus they have a way of doing it. So they're going to make it. If you don't give them much, they'll make it how they feel they're going to make it and how their other clients make it. I was very particular, especially with like the complexions and material. Like, I remember once with one of the dolls, they wanted to use a different texture hair, and I was like, I could tell by the picture. I was like, no, I need the doll to be the same feeling all the way through. So you got to look at, you can research the market and then really understand what you want. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. But it was a process. After I made her like Crinny Pie, I was like, okay, I kind of mellowed on it. And then I said, no, I need all the babies. Everyone's like, P, you need to be grandma. I was like, hold tight.
That's cool.
I'm only one person.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah.
Well, hey, it's a thorough process. And what I'm hearing is it's a thorough process, and it's not for the faint of heart. So don't do it for your book unless you're serious about it. Princess, yeah. I see last two questions for you. First one would be, what would be your parting piece of advice for the princess from a few years ago before you wrote your first book, and the other people out there who are thinking about writing their first children's book?
You know what? I said this the other day, right? But this is just try not to take advice from people who have never been where you want to go or where you are. So, do you know a lot of people are so negative and like believe in you and your capabilities? And also, you've got to know who you're talking to. Not everything is for the same person. Like, yeah, so because they can really cripple your growth and really put fear into you. If you believe in what you're doing, keep pushing, like literally keep pushing. And I just think sometimes you could talk to the wrong person and they could really, if you're not confident enough, they could really kind of, And my auntie always says to me, don't announce nothing until it's done. Don't say anything until it's done. Like I've got a few things coming. I'm totally excited about it. But like it's interesting. And just keep your head down. Like I kept my head down solid for a year. And I planted last year. So that are starting to sprout. So So to my younger self, I would say, I would say I have no regrets though of anything that I do. I do everything that I've done is what I wanted to do. And I always found a way to do it. But I would say never stop dreaming, kind of, and just because someone else doesn't think it's right, find your own path. Find your own path. Keep pushing. And networking. Oh my gosh, networking is amazing. You can network. And sometimes it's not even your family and friends who support you. It's strangers who just love what you're doing. Oh my gosh. So network.
That's cool. Good. Well, guys, if you're watching this or listening to this right now and you want our help with your book, obviously at selfpublishing.com. Not a lot of people know this, but we've got a children's book school as part of the company. And so we have launched, I don't even know, at this point, probably hundreds of children's books. And so a lot of children's books happening. Book a call with the team if that's something that you're interested in. We'd be happy to help bring your children's book to life. Princess, where can people go before we head out? Where can people go to find out more about you, your clothing line, the books, or whatever would be most helpful for them to go?
Amazing. So the website is nymarbabies.com. Instagram is nymarbabies. Also, if you're interested in streetwear, that's all about freedom and just being that inner rebel, then you can visit nymarclothing.com. But yeah, so you can find me. We're on Instagram, Facebook. I'm exploring TikTok, but yeah.
Awesome. We're ninemilebabies.com. Princess, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tana. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right. Reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that. I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right. All you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step. So how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.